Glenn.
Marty.
How are you doing down there on Capitol Hill?
Well, fine. Thank you very much for having me back on it. I think it's a very profitable time for us to have a little discussion about what's going on here in Washington, how that fits into the world situation that everybody's seeing unfolding here with greater rapidity, and then how that also fits within some of the work you've been doing with the cycles, not only the cycles, the economic confidence model, but also the cycles of war. And, boy, we're sure seeing that in spades, aren't we?
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, I think it's this convergence on our model is two. It's the civil unrest side, which we're seeing like in separation movements like Scotland and Spain, etc. Even movements are starting to percolate up in like in California. You know, talk of splitting it into seven, you know, I don't know about seven, but, you know, north to south, definitely. And as the economy turns down, that's when these separatist-type movements develop even more. So, because then people start blaming the other side, et cetera, and so we'll see things develop even in California, you know, as we, you know, progress in the cycle. But this is going to be a real zinger, I'll tell you. It's we're much higher in levels of volatility than we were historically at any other time. And even with the, if you look at things like unemployment, it's astronomically high in Europe, with the youth over 60%. But even here in the United States, if you do a comparison when cycles change, for example, the Great Depression, before it began, unemployment was 5%. I mean, we're, you know, at best more than double that right now. So, and the United States economy is the only thing holding everything up in the world. So, you know, when we turn down, unemployment can go much higher than people would ever anticipate. And, you know, it's so the turn down from late 15 into 2020, I mean, this one's going to make the last one look, you know, like a walk in the park.
Well, it's interesting. I noted within the last couple of days, the Pope declared that we are in World War III, that the summation of these lower level conflicts, that are spread around the world, total sort of the early stages of a World War III type situation, without even getting into the issues of Ukraine, Russia, the Middle East, and the real hot wars that are going on now at some level. When you talk about these separatist movements in places, you reference Spain, I think, when you were speaking, and the protest there, and you overlay that with the high unemployment, low economic growth scenarios that you also referenced. Do you see those two things converging to become more violent separatist movements if the peaceful movements don't work out the way the separatists like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the biggest problem with Europe has been the development that, you know, initially there were, you know, people were talking about the New World Order, et cetera. But it's really much more than that. That was the idea of Europe, that if there was one government, then you would end the European war. And what they forgot was that, you know, it was the people. It's not just one government. It's, you don't have a unified nation that Brussels has been trying to create. And they don't, you know, quite understand that what they've done is actually now made it even more. So you have people protesting in Greece dressed up as Nazis, etc., and blaming the Germans. There were protests in Spain when Merkel went down there. people are blaming it, you know, everybody else for their problems. So I don't see where this whole idea of one world order would eliminate war. I think it's actually promoting it. So, and the separatists are gaining power everywhere. And this week we're going to have the Scottish vote. Initially, when I was talking about Scotland, you know, back in, at the conferences in 2012, everybody's like, huh, there's not that much support for that. I said, you'll see. And now it's going to be a very, very close race. But the point is that Scotland breaks away. If that's a yes vote, then it's going to become like a contagion. And you're going to see Spain looking, yeah, that's a good idea. You have Northern Ireland saying, yeah, that's a good idea. And you're going to have a lot of that spread even here in the United States. So it's a very important trend rather than, you know, what does Scotland have to do with me? It has everything to do with everybody. So it's a trend of the attitude within society.
Well, let's bring this back here to the U.S. for a moment if we can. And I want to tie my question in with what's going on around the world. You know, we here in the U.S. have gotten very used to sitting here and watching CNN or Fox News or whatever our channel of choice is and looking at these conflicts over across the seas and either opining or intervening and thinking that it's going to be consequence-free. Here in the U.S., we're getting ready to have our own elections here in a couple of months. In Congress, if they have their way, it looks like they will. As we speak here this week, they'll probably wrap up their business here up through the election time this week because not much is getting done around here because there's obviously there's a clear majority for change, but there's not a clear majority for anyone, even close to a clear majority, for any particular change. And as such, nothing's happening. So the great hope around here amongst the political class, the chattering classes, is, okay, let's pass a bill funding government up through probably there on or about December 11th. Go have the elections, then come back, and we'll have a lame duck session, have post-election with the current Congress, the thinking being that one way or another, the direction for the country for the next 2 years will be set by these elections. They're going to be held in November, and we can then move forward with something. My question would be, what if when the dust settles on this year's elections, it turns out that there have been, say, Republican gains here in the U.S., but when the dust settles and you've got Barack Obama is still president, let's suppose for the sake of argument that Harry Reid remains Senate Majority Leader, but with a narrower margin, and John Boehner is still Speaker of the House. In fact, nothing would have changed, even at the surface level. The body politic out there, and you and I were discussing off mic before we began some polling results I had been shown today, which reflected deep, deep dissatisfaction that amongst American voters that the political class here probably doesn't really fully comprehend. What happens here in the U.S. if people who are demanding change find that when the dust settles, the political system has produced no change? How does that manifest itself through looking at the kind of models and the cyclical work that you do?
I think that's largely what's going to filter into the 2016 election. And the main thing with that is that we have a significant issue there. The economy should peak out towards the end of next year and then turn down. So we're going to have 1 year of a decline before the 16 election. So that 1 year is going to be pretty significant on a political level. And, you know, that's where we're showing, you know, we're going to see a very sharp spike in third-party activity. And people, I think, who just read mainstream press are very unaware of what really goes on Capitol Hill. I mean, you know, people think that voting for a Democrat or a Republican is really going to bring some sort of a change. I mean, in my lifetime, I've never seen any kind of a change behind the scenes. It's always the same people there. You know, you're still going to have the same people in Treasury, the same people in the military. You know, I don't see where anything's really going to change if you, you know, put in whoever for president. So I think that's going to be part of what is 16. I mean, Hillary seems to be probably a shoo-in for the Democrats. I mean, that would be interesting. I guess that makes Bill Clinton the first lady, I suppose. But on the Republican side, we've got probably a split. And I don't think Bonner, you know, in his civil war against the Tea Party, quite appreciates that people want change. And I don't think that he understands this. And if the Republicans won the Senate this time, which is going to be a pretty close race if they really can do it, but if they did, it's going to give them a false sense of accomplishment, and it's just going to be business as usual.
Well, the thing that I would, and your guess is as good as mine, because I think it's going to be close as to whether the Republicans take over the Senate. The Republicans will certainly hang on to the House and probably gain seats, but they will be gain fewer seats than most Republican activists would wish. But it's going to be close in the Senate. But the thing that I'd like to echo that you said, as somebody that does work here in the institution, is that as you indicated, behind the scenes, and sometimes the front and center in the establishments, so it's not, they're not hidden. Although first of all, the hidden people won't change. So you're exactly right. But even the people that you are highly visible characters are familiar faces from administration to administration and from party to party. So we saw literally when George W. Bush was president of the United States, he had Robert Gates was Secretary of Defense, and Mr. Obama came in, and who was Secretary of Defense? Robert Gates. Obviously, you had Timothy Geithner was the president of the New York Fed under George W. Bush, becomes Secretary of the Treasury under Barack Obama. The figures at the CIA and the three-letter agencies, NSA, CIA, et cetera, don't change. They don't change. And you'll see a lot of differences, style differences between parties, and there's substance differences too. But on the things that matter to people that really follow your work that matter the most, you're sort of looking at big world geopolitical events. You're looking at world economic events, at monetary events. Now, the central bankers don't change, obviously. So the people that really are pulling the strings, the unelected and unaccounted, the so-called deep state, does not change. And they will not change even if Republicans do take over both houses of Congress is here. There'd be some changes. It's not that it would be without consequence, but in terms of the overarching trends that are driving things, as we come towards that cycle peak in your economic confidence model, it really won't matter whether Obama's got a Democratic Congress or a Republican Congress. You know, we've got that rendezvous with destiny, I think.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, they get everybody riled up over the social issues, but, you know, push that aside, and your economics, it's the same. You know, you can make Bonner, you know, dictator for 90 days. Would he actually change anything? And I don't think he would.